If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Karen, let's talk first about what you think will be next for the Highland Park shooter who will be back in court today.
Well, the court will hold status calls and what they call it pretrial conferences. And this is just a time for the judge to determine what is going on. Is the case moving to trial? Are documents being given to the defendant's lawyers? And basically, it's just a management of the case going forward. And there will be dates set for deadlines and those types of things. I don't think there's going to be any surprise at the end of this case what happens. I don't think this kid has a chance of ever seeing the light of day, nor should he. But the process definitely has to work through the system.
Now to R. Kelly, prosecutors and the charges being dropped there. How unusual is that, Karen?
Pretty unusual, even though there were two other cases, as we know, one in New York and one in the federal court in Chicago, where there were convictions, and R. Kelly is awaiting sentencing on the one in Chicago. Both of those, you know, will have 20 to 30 year sentences. So I understand the idea that we're going to save our resources and drop the charges, but you just generally don't see prosecutors doing that. And my guess would be that prosecutors had some problems with the evidence. It could be that some of these allegations, which are 20 to 25 years old, maybe were stale, and maybe the witnesses didn't have the exact memories, and things were just, you know, not solid. And I would imagine that the prosecutor doesn't want to be embarrassed. That's not good for any prosecutor's office, especially the Cook County prosecutor's office. And my guess is that they just want to leave well enough alone and let the verdict sit where they are.
I see, Karen, on your Sunday afternoon 3 p.m. show on WGN Radio this weekend, you will have a lawyer on the air as a guest, one of the Tyre Nichols family lawyers. What questions will you have? What are you thinking about as far as the case of Tyre Nichols and his death in the hands of Memphis police?
You know, it's a question that I'm not sure he can answer, but he's a person who represented George Floyd as well. He's a Chicago lawyer, and he handles these kinds of cases, and he's handled a bunch of them, the police brutality cases. And it's the question we all have, Bob. What were these people thinking? Was this something that they did all the time? What made five men who have badges on them act in that manner? And what is it that we have to do? And again, how many police brutality cases do we have to have before we have some sort of change? And I just would like to get into his head to understand that, because he's probably thought about that more than all of us have. I'm going to ask how the family's doing. I'm just curious as to how a family deals with this kind of tragedy, and then what are the ramifications? What are they going to look for? What kinds of laws are they going to look to change on a federal basis, on a local basis, so this type of thing doesn't happen?
That'll be on WGN Radio here Sunday afternoon between 3 and 5:15. Karen, when you watch that video, doesn't it seem that those cops were like, it's almost like they were on drugs or something, that they were all riled up and even before they got out of their car?
I mean, you're right, and there are rumors, and I will just say that they are rumors, and they're all over the internet. I don't know if you've seen them, that one of the police officers' wives was having an affair with him, and so that would give some reason for them to focus on this individual. I mean, none of that has ever been confirmed, but that would explain something, wouldn't it? Because you're right. It was as if they targeted him right from the beginning, and they had some animosity to him that was just not justified given his conduct. And the other thing that is amazing is that the first responders didn't respond and didn't do anything. I mean, this is their job, to help people, even people who may have committed horrendous crimes, which this guy apparently didn't. So the whole thing, start to finish, was astounding.
you know, those police officers came out of the car angry before they even got to the scene of the crime or the alleged crime. Let's talk about what's happening in Manhattan with the prosecutor and the charges against Donald Trump, the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. As I understand it here, the charges would be campaign finance violations, and it's relatively minor in the grand scope of things, isn't it?
No, it really is, and it happened a long time ago. This is back in 2016. As you recall, Michael Cohen, who was Trump's lawyer, arranged to have money given to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet about an extramarital affair that supposedly she had with Donald Trump. And what happened was the Trump organization, the campaign, wrote a check to Michael Cohen. Cohen took that money and gave it to her, but the campaign called it legal fees. And instead of legal fees, it was obviously not legal fees, and it was a falsification of business records and a campaign violation. And yes, it's fairly minor. I mean, it could go up to 4 years in prison, but this is the kind of thing that someone would probably get probation for. Kind of surprised they're pursuing this one in the light of all the other things that are going on, but at the grand jury sitting in, and probably will know something very soon on that.
The trial of Alex Murdaugh in South Carolina is all over the news. 99 charges. What do you make of the evidence and the defense so far, Karen?
Really an interesting trial. I don't know if any of you watched any of it, but there's a lot of conflicting evidence. I don't think there's going to be any doubt that he did commit all of these financial fraud and insurance fraud and bilking his clients out of money to the tune of $9 million. But as to the murder of his wife and his son, there's a lot of evidence all over the place. The crime scene was not preserved very well. I watched his entire interview after he was after the crimes were discovered. I found him to be credible. He didn't have any blood on his shirt, which the prosecutors are saying showed that he actually changed his shirt. And the defense is saying he doesn't have any blood on his shirt because he didn't kill them. And again, we're talking about the motive. What was his motive? The motive the prosecutors are talking about is he killed them to make everyone feel sorry for him regarding the financial crimes, which doesn't make any sense. So if anyone has a chance to watch any of this, it's a good old Southern courtroom, and the lawyers are doing their job.
Yeah, fascinating to see that. And finally, is the day really going to come now when we can contest a traffic ticket using AI? Really?
Yeah, someone tried to do that in California, and of course, guess who got mad about that? The lawyers. They said you can't use AI to fight a traffic ticket because the AI is not licensed by the bar. Yeah, there's a company that spent millions of dollars putting together some artificial intelligence to fight cases in court. And so the idea could be that lawyers are going to be obsolete, and I don't know about how soon that's going to happen. I would think that I think there's a lot of stuff that lawyers do, that we all do, that could be relegated to artificial intelligence. But when it comes to courtroom and appealing to a jury, I just don't know that a robot's going to have it. But we'll see.
My intelligence is already artificial. Karen Conte, attorney at Conte Law on WGN Radio, Sunday afternoon, and this weekend it'll be Sunday between 3 and 5:15. Thank you, Karen.
Have a great day.